next session is called Expectations, and what we're going to look at are truly the expectations that you bring into marriage and relationships, and really past baggage, how they can negatively affect your relationship. It's really important that we understand these things. This is a very practical, pragmatic teaching. This will help you. We're going to look at how we can bring baggage, how it can affect us, and how we can negate those effects, the negative effects, through communication. So that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at expectations, first of all. Here's a couple facts about expectations. We all have them. In every relationship we have, especially a marriage relationship, you will bring expectations. What I want you to see here is that uncommunicated or unrealistic expectations are leading causes to disillusionment and unresolved conflict in marriage, especially early in marriage. Oftentimes, we get these expectations, or we bring these expectations on our spouse or on our friends. We get those from our family, from our parents quite often. The biggest expectation that most people bring into marriage, quite honestly, if I was to ask you, again, we talked about it in session one, but marriage is expected to make you what? What do most people think marriage is going to make them? It's going to make them happy. I know mothers that have told their daughters, I just want my daughter to be happy. I don't care if she marries that drug lord. As long as she's happy, that's fine with me. It's ridiculous. As long as they're happy. The Bible didn't even say that. That's not true at all. I remember Joe Theismann, the great quarterback, NFL quarterback. I remember a quote that he said when he was talking to his wife, when he was telling her that, announcing to her that he was divorcing her for a younger woman. He told her that God wants Joe Theismann to be happy, and I'm going to divorce you. That's what he told her, and he believed that, and he acted on that. That is not what God says at all. And these expectations that we bring into our marriage, that your husband or your wife is going to make you happy, or they're going to perform certain things, certain ways, whether it's the way they cook or whether they dress or how they act or talk to you or not talk to you or argue or don't argue, these expectations can bring a lot of stress into our marriages, okay? So I just want to share this verse with you. Jeremiah 29:11, when it comes to his plan for you, this is a great verse. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. This is a promise we can have. Again, God doesn't promise that you're going to be happy in marriage. If you just go into marriage thinking, oh, finally I'm going to be happy, and you just plop into your husband's arms or your wife's arms and say, oh, make me happy. I'm going to be happy now. You're going to be disappointed. It's not going to happen. But this is true. God says, I've got good plans for you. I have plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope in the future. I believe that. But we need to have right expectation. This is a right expectation on God, okay? But to have the expectation your spouse is going to make you happy, that's an unrealistic expectation that's going to bring tension into your marriage. So we got to do some things about that, okay? In fact, the Bible says that in John 16:33, it says that in this world you will have what? Trouble. You're going to have trouble. Right? That's what the Bible promises, if we're going to be honest. Expectations. Here's what expectations are. They are assumptions each of us make about the things a spouse should or should not do in order to have a happy marriage. These assumptions guide the way we treat one another. That's what assumptions are. That's what expectations are. They're assumptions. We assume some things. And the Bible is very clear that through presumption or assumption comes strife. When we assume things, there's going to be strife. So we need to talk about these things that we're bringing into our marriage, the baggage that we're carrying in with us in our marriages, okay? And again, this idea that I've got to be happy will train wreck your marriage. It'll make you so distraught and so miserable if you think and have an expectation that bliss is going to happen, that there won't be any fights, there won't be any arguments, there won't be any disagreements. I'm going to be so happy in this marriage. I've shared this before, but I remember talking to a girl when we were in Loveland, a couple. I didn't marry them. I didn't know them, but they came to our church right after they got married, and they wanted counseling, so I started counseling them, and they'd just gotten married, and she was just fit to be tied. She was so stressed out about their marriage, and she would have the littlest complaints. I mean, to her, they were huge, but it was like he didn't throw his socks down the clothes chute, and he left things laying around, and it was like, it seemed like relatively small things, but she was so upset and so dissatisfied with the marriage. Turns out she lived with the mom, they lived with her mom, and the mom didn't like this guy, and so the mom was telling her she needed to get out of the marriage. Well, they did. Within 3 months, they got out of the marriage. She divorced him after 3 months of marriage because she wasn't happy, and her mom was telling her she needed to be happy, and it was unbelievable. I've seen other marriages end within a year. I've married people. I'm ashamed to say that I've married people that don't go to our church, and they didn't go to our church. They just came to me, and I wanted to help them. I gave them these principles. They listened to him. Actually, he got saved. My family went to that. I've got a picture of our family. The boys went. We ate at their dinner, and I married them. And within, I think, 6 months, they were divorced. It's like, what just happened? What is going on here? This idea of expectation, I think, plays into this. Their assumptions will affect the way we treat one another. So, assumptions and expectations really mirror some basic needs that we all feel. So men, there are some real needs that men, when they do surveys and find out, what are some top needs that you feel like you need to have met or you're going to have met in your marriage? They'll do surveys, and these are the top things that come back. So what would you say for men? Let's just go down the list of men in smaller crowds. I'll just have people throw it out and we'll list it out. But it's pretty consistent what most men say feel like they need. Again, expectations and needs, they kind of mirror one another. So most men will say they have needs in marriage. What would be one need that you think probably is on the list somewhere? Physical. What's that?
Physical,
yes. Sexual fulfillment is what most men will say they feel like is their top need or expectation in a marriage. And again, this is important that we realize this, what we're getting into. We need to understand that. Wives, women, you need to understand what men are thinking, and men, you need to understand what women are thinking, okay? I'll just list them out for you. Recreational companionship. Most men say they have a need, they feel like they have a need or an expectation that their wife is going to meet their need of recreational companionship, to go camping with me or go jogging with me or, you know, hang out and take hikes or whatever. They have that need. Okay, that's important to know, especially if you're not a hiker, ladies, okay, that your husband has that desire. You need to talk about these things. Have an attractive spouse. Most men will say they have a need to have a wife that presents herself attractively. That's what they'll say. Number four, domestic support. A lot of men will say that they have a need or an expectation that their wife is going to be helpful around the house. She'll do the dishes. She'll do the vacuuming. She'll do the laundry. She's going to take care of the shopping, things like that. Domestic help. A lot of guys have that expectation. I'm not saying they're right or wrong. I'm just saying it's good to know this. You should know this. This is what you're getting into. It's not across the board, but this is typical. Admiration and respect. Men expect that. They desire that. They want respect. They're coming into a marriage believing that they're going to be respected and admired. And there's a great book you can read, Love and Respect, or watch the videos. We've taken people through that small group a lot, and I really believe this is true. It's biblical. The Bible tells women, wives, to respect your husband. Husbands, love your wives. It's very clear in the Bible. All right, so ladies, or let's do this. Men, what do you think are some of the needs that the ladies would have? They would say, this is a need and expectation I have when I go into marriage. What would be one of them?
Emotional support,
yes. Affection. That would be a need that most women would say that I have when I go into marriage and my husband's going to help me. Conversation. All these kind of tie together in a big bow that we just say they want to be loved. All right, all these put together. Affection, conversation. They have an expectation that you're going to have lots of long, deep conversations late into the night, okay? And all the guys are laughing. This is why we have this premarital class, you guys, right there. Other needs that women say they have a need to have honest and open relationships with other people, and especially with their husband, to have honesty. They don't want to be jacked around. They don't want to be lied to. Okay, that's a need they have, a specific need they call out. Financial security is a big one for women. They go into a marriage, into a relationship, expecting to be taken care of financially, that they don't have to worry about finances, okay? And another need that's high on the list, again, it could be for you and your relationships. It could be upside down. There's lots of things you could add, but this is typical. Family commitment, that there's going to be a commitment to the family, that you're locked into your family, that the husband is going to be locked into the kids, and this is not, you know, the work is not going to take precedence over the family. There's that expectation, all right? So it's a good exercise, especially if you're engaged and you're thinking about getting married, to go through the handout that we have, and it just walks you through expectations that you might have that would be maybe different from this. Maybe this is, you go, yeah, that's pretty much it for me. But it's good to go through and talk through it and listen out and then communicate. It's so important to communicate these needs or expectations that you have going into your marriage. And it's so important. So there's two important sources that we can talk about that bring these expectations, bring these needs or what we desire or we think we need in marriage. There's two important sources. The first one is this, your family upbringing or what it's officially called is a family of origin. How you are raised will have a big impact on what you expect in your marriage, all right? And the second one is this, your life experiences. It's pretty obvious, but it's important that you recognize that. What type of life you lived, where you lived, what your parents did, were they divorced, things like that are going to affect your expectations on your spouse. You know, I've given this example before, I think, in church, so I think it's fine to give it again. In our marriage, in Mary and my marriage, I can give an example of this family upbringing, life experiences, is that for years, well, not years, I noticed right at the beginning of our marriage, whenever I would get in the car, because we only had one car for a long time, and Mary had been driving it, so she pulls the seat up, and she would, obviously, she had short legs, and I'd get in, I'd click the thing back, and I'd go back with the seat, and it would click, 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 and she would literally almost flinch sometimes, and it's like, what's going on here? And I noticed that there was a physical reaction when I would have to push the seat back, and she would start saying, I'm sorry, I should have pushed it back for you, I'm sorry. And at first I didn't think anything about it, but it was every time. She was physically reacting and saying she was sorry. And I finally said, listen, you don't have to say you're sorry for putting the seat up. And as we talked about it, what we realized is that her dad is, what, 6'4", and your mom is 5'3". And so mom always had the car seat up, and her dad, bless his heart, he's such a sweet guy, but he had a little bit of a temper. And whenever he would get in the car, his knees were up in his face, you know, because it was, oh, and he would just lose it almost every time. And he would yell at his wife, "You were supposed to turn that back." He would get so mad at her, and the kids would often beware in the back seat. And they're experiencing this. So when it was a physical reaction, if I moved the seat back, she would react in a negative way and say, "I'm sorry." And I would have to tell her, "Listen, you don't have to apologize anymore. I'm never going to yell at you for this. I never have." But this is what I'm talking about. Family upbringing, life experiences that you bring into your marriage. That is a good example. Something you wouldn't think about. But because of her upbringing, she assumed I was going to yell at her because of this seat thing. Because of our family upbringing. It affects how we respond in our marriages, and we need to see that. All right. So, I like this verse. Genesis 2:24 says, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." I just want to throw this in here because as you think about getting married, you're not just getting married to one person. You're getting married to families, right, are getting together. And that is pretty important, especially when we're talking about expectations, family upbringing, life experiences. I really strongly suggest that you have a conversation with, especially if you have Christian parents or in-laws, that the Bible's very clear that there needs to be a leaving that happens in your marriage, meaning that the woman comes out from underneath her family and the man comes out from beneath his family, and you guys start your own thing, that you are leaving. Doesn't mean you're disrespecting or not ever talking to them. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you are starting your own thing, that you are not necessarily going to do everything they say anymore. Meaning you two have each other's back. You have become one, this reflection of God. And oftentimes what happens is there's too much influence coming in from the parents or the in-laws that I think can negatively affect your marriage, and you didn't leave your parents. You're still under their authority. And so if your parents disagree, say for instance for the wife, if your parents disagree with your husband's decision, you oftentimes side with your parents, which is not a good thing. It's not that we don't get wisdom and listen and get counsel. I'm just saying that they are not your ultimate authority anymore, and you need to see that. And I would even suggest it's probably a good thing not to live too close to them right out of the chute. It just is. I'm just telling you. Especially if there's a dominating parent situation for the woman. Boy, oh boy, there can be problems there. And it's probably good to physically leave and be apart from that, so you're not too close. They're not always in your business. Okay, there's an important aspect there that affects your marriage, your life upbringing. There comes a great time to break that hold that your parents have on you. Again, not disrespectfully, just being wise there. Okay, so here's three practical things you can do, you need to do, and there's assignments there, especially if you're engaged, to manage these expectations. And you say, how do I know if there's issues we need to talk about? What do you get frustrated about? What is it that she does or he does that frustrates you or gets you in arguments? Those are some things that you might need to talk about your expectations. So first thing would be to communicate your expectations. Just brainstorm. And again, the handouts and the homework will help you do that. Communicate your expectations clearly. Number two, compare your views with each other. All right, that's so important. Compare your views and finally come together on agreement on how you're going to deal with these different issues, okay? It doesn't mean you're going to always do it his way or her way, but you come to an agreement. You know, when I was in college, I lived with a bunch of guys, and I remember having disagreements about how we're going to dry the dishes. Back then, we didn't have dishwashers. We'd do the dishes at night. We had six guys in the house, lots of dishes. And one guy grew up in a family where it was an anathema just to let the dishes sit and dry by themselves, because he was told by his parents, that, or his mom probably, that the germs would come down and sit on the plates, okay? As opposed to the guys over here where they're angry with him and said, well, you know, your dish towel's all dirty, so you just push on the germs when you're drying them off, okay? It's like, what's the difference? So their expectations. This guy, he grew up, you can't let him air dry. This guy grew up and you can't towel dry. So we had to come to a conclusion, okay? You need to talk about it. You need to communicate, compare, and come to an agreement. This is important, especially before you get married. Again, it's not important that or necessary that you're in perfect agreement on everything. You won't be. But it's important that you begin the process by revealing your expectations early, okay? Let's just do this. This will be the last little section here. Past baggage. When we're talking about expectations, there's the issue of past baggage that we all have. Things that we've experienced, life experiences, things that we've gone through that really do have an impact. And these are important that we list these out and we talk about them, okay? Especially before we get married. Galatians 6:7 says, don't be deceived. God can't be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. In our life, we've done things. We've experienced things. We've been through things that will affect us. We have sown things, in other words, that affect us. There's fruit in our lives because of things we've done, said, heard, been a part of. An emotional baggage is that baggage that you bring into marriage. It's those intangible things, such as feelings, circumstances, beliefs, that get in the way or impede progress and growth of your relationship. That's this baggage that we all bring. And there's many types of baggage in our marriage. We can just list a few here. The baggage of past relationships can certainly influence your marriage. You know, whether you had lots of girlfriends or lots of boyfriends, or what was your relationship like with people? If you had long-term relationships, no relationships, that affects your marriage. And you need to talk about those things. That'll affect your interaction with your spouse. Maybe your background. Maybe you had an unstable background. Maybe you moved a lot. If you meet military people, I've come to understand that that has affected them. I know something about a person as soon as I find out that they are a military child, meaning their dad or mom were in the military, they're lifelong military, and I know right away they probably moved a bunch of times, which has baggage with it, doesn't it? If you've had to move 10, 15, 20 times as a kid, that means you've been displaced, you've been ripped away from your friends countless times. That has a huge emotional impact on your life. That is an important thing to understand about a future spouse. If they're military and things like that, but military for sure, you need to understand that. Medical issues. Did you grow up with medical issues? That will impact your life. That'll have an effect on your marriage. If your spouse or yourself grew up in situations where you had serious or complicated medical issues, okay? We could add into that as far as your backgrounds or your relationships, just your even, especially your religious background. If you grew up LDS, if you were raised LDS, that's going to affect you. If you were raised strong Catholic, that's going to affect your relationship. Even if you're a Christian now, there are things that are going on that have been printed on you that will affect your marriage. You need to talk about it. Were you involved or addicted to drugs or alcohol, or was your spouse? That's going to have a huge effect. So you are used to growing up with having, you know, a glass of wine. You see your parents having a glass of wine at dinner every night, but your spouse grew up in a household that was full of addicts and they abused alcohol. That's going to affect what you do at dinner time. That's very practical. You need to talk about things like that. Pornography. Have you been addicted to pornography or been around lots of pornography, or you had your brothers or whatever were exposing you to this? So that's going to affect your physical relationship with your spouse, and you need to talk about that. How about the parenting style? You may have had parents that were bad parents, that weren't good parents. Maybe they weren't even around. That'll affect you. When it comes to your parenting, when you start parenting, you only know what you saw from your parents. So it's going to affect how you parent. This has a big impact on your relationship and on your parenting. How were you parented? That's a conversation you need to have. Tell me about how you were raised. What was it like? Did you get disciplined? Did you not get disciplined? My wife doesn't remember. You never got spanked, right? Or once, one time in her whole life got spanked. You know, Joseph and Stephen got spanked 100 times a day from the time they were, you know, it just seems like a whole different thing. But we agreed on that. But that's not, so when we go to visit her folks and the kids are acting out when they're just little kids and we have to take them upstairs and spank them, we had some angry stares. We had grandparents that hid all the wooden spoons in the house before we came to their house. I'm not kidding. And they would just, her dad would just fume at me. He would just look at me, and you could see the steam when we take poor little Stephen up to the stairs to spank him, because he's being a rebel and he deserved to be spanked, okay? But that was not their background, but they sure love the fruit of the boys. They sure love how they're turning out. But that is a background thing. That's a baggage thing that Mary had to overcome, because we definitely spank our kids. Finances. Maybe you grew up with a lot of money. Maybe you grew up with a little. Maybe your parents gave you everything you wanted. We know instinctively that if we meet somebody that came out of the Depression, they're going to be different, aren't they? They're going to have a different mindset on money than you have. We know that. That's a baggage issue. That's a history issue. They came through something. They have been changed. That's important that you talk about how you've dealt with finances, what you grew up with or without when it comes to finances. This is a huge issue, physical or emotional abuse, which is way too rampant. But it's true, and you need to talk about those things. It'll have a huge impact on your physical intimacy if there's been physical or emotional abuse in your past, especially if it comes from a family member. All right, you need to talk about those things. So, baggage from the past. In order to deal with the past, you need to learn how to give and receive forgiveness. This is the key. Once you talk about these things, once you understand these things, you need to deal with forgiveness with the people that have hurt you, offended you, bitterness. You need to work through those things. And together you can help each other, okay? Mark 11:25 talks about this issue of forgiveness. And when you stand praying, it says, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. Learning from the past and releasing it are never easy, but I'm going to tell you, it's going to help your marriage. It is worthwhile. It is worthwhile. So let's just pray. God, we thank you for this time. And we thank you, God, for just reminding us that we all bring expectations and we have needs that we think are going to get met in our relationships and our marriage. Lord, we have past baggage that's been brought to us through relationships, our background, through medical issues that we might have, parenting styles, what kind of money we had growing up. All these things influence us. And I pray that you would help anyone who's thinking about getting married to be able to talk honestly and openly about these things so they go into it eyes wide open, understanding that is going to have an effect on their relationship so they're not caught off guard. Pray that you give everyone grace to be able to do that. And I pray that if there's forgiveness issues, that you would help them work through that as well. So we just thank you, God, so much that you help us when it comes to relationships and marriage. We commit all the marriages that we have now in our church and that we'll have in the future to you for your glory. We commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.